Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. It's good to be back. Good to be in our rhythm of week to week. Just a reminder, new episodes of this podcast come out every Thursday at midnight. So that would be Wednesday night, Thursday morning, wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're listening to this episode and maybe it's older and you're wondering when do new episodes come out, it's every Thursday at midnight. We'll have a new episode, new guest, new conversation for you guys to listen in on. And just want to thank all of you who take the time to listen and support this podcast in many different ways, through pressing play, through prayer, through your generosity from our partners. All of those things go into making this podcast possible. So I want to thank you guys for that. And this week, I'm excited as we continue bringing in returning guests, someone that you all are definitely familiar with. I'd like to welcome to the show my Uncle Jesse Katina. Uncle Jesse, thanks for being here.
Hey, thank you, Josh. Man, I'm excited to be with you today, man.
It's been a little while since we've had a one-on-one conversation, at least for the podcast, and I've been looking forward to this. I guess I'll start off by just asking you how this beginning, I guess we're recording this, it's end of February. Just want to ask you, though, how the first 2 months of 2025 have been for you?
Man, it's been pretty good, you know, coming off of the Christmas tour, ended the year that way in 2024. And it's always a fun time for me and the rest of the brothers, because we know that we're going to have several weeks, 4 to 6 weeks of just laying low, spending time with family, recuperating, recovering, sleeping, resting, and just relaxing. And so we're kind of done with that short season now. We're back to the grind.
Yeah, it's been, I talked with Uncle John about this. It's the beginning of the year brings a lot of uncertainty, maybe some stress, but also just some excitement for new ideas and new starts, new opportunities, especially with the ministry.
Yeah.
I wonder, is there anything this year particularly that maybe you're looking forward to, or something that you're hoping that you get to do that maybe you haven't done before, or haven't done in a long time?
Yeah, there might be a few, but the things that stick out in my mind are, we are about two and a half months away from our second child graduating. Mira J is a senior at Franklin High School. And so, I remember what it was like for Boston. And, so I think there are going to be some similarities with this one, but even some differences, because Mira is a totally different child, man. So that's something that's coming up. And then just for the ministry, you know, we're back on the road traveling. The last 2 weeks we were in Southern California. And so, you know, when you take a long time off, sometimes it takes a while to get reacclimated to traveling, and even just the musical side of it. Just man, when I take off, I don't sing at all. Matter of fact, when I'm at church, I'm worshiping, man, and I'm mouthing the words, but I'm not really I'm not really singing out full voice. So even that's an adjustment. But we are we're going to be traveling to some cool places, some great churches, some friends, and so looking forward to that.
Let me ask you about Mira. I'm curious. So she's a few months away from graduating. What kind of a senior is Mira J? Like, we've all heard of senioritis, where that last year of school, you kind of give up.
Or yes.
It doesn't happen to everyone. It definitely happened to me. But I'm curious, what is she like? Do you think Mira's like over it, ready to be done? Or is she soaking things in? What's her senior year like?
Yeah, right? I think for Mira, it would be both. And one aspect, yeah, she is kind of like over it. She's like, man, let's just get this done with. But at the same time, because she didn't actually go to She was homeschooled for 2 years before her senior year. There's some things that she's excited about. All the social events, prom is coming up. She just realized that, man, graduation is going to be awesome because I'm going to be around my friends and maybe we'll have a party. But, man, Mira is, she is something else. Her drive is crazy. And as a dad, I'm just trying to support it, trying to adjust to it, trying to figure out, okay, Mira, you know, this is cool, but man, you might want to just, you know, put this on hold. For a lot of people don't know my daughter, but she is so talented. She wants to be an actress. She wants to be in that industry. But at the same time, she has a passion for music way beyond even what I, for me, she loves to sing. And then every and any instrument she is interested in. I'm like, hey, Mira, all this stuff belongs to Uncle. Why is it at our house? The drums, the keyboard, guitars. The latest one is one of Uncle James's extra bass laying around our house. And man, I'm like, wow, Mira J, pick one. But hey, it's in her.
That's awesome. I think, you know, I'm excited for Mira in this season of her life. And I feel like she's the kind of person, from what I know about Mira, that she's like, obviously very talented and excellent in what she does.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think people like her, like their senior year is probably more enjoyable than for people who maybe were slackers. And I don't know. I'm excited for Mira and excited for what the future holds for her. Can I ask for, this might be something that people are interested to hear about. Prom for your kids.
Yeah.
I've heard from my dad all the time growing up, oh, Josh, Grandpa Moses never let us go to dances. He never let, it was sinful to go to dances.
Yeah.
What's you and Auntie Jessica's approach as parents with not just Mira, but even Boston and Sam with things of that nature, like school dances, things that people would call air quote worldly. How do you guys parent Mira through homecoming dance and prom and things like that?
Yeah, I think some of those things, you know, I think Auntie Jessica would agree that we both grew up in legalistic homes, perhaps. But we've been married for 22 years now, and I would like to think that we have a more broader perspective of some of those issues, and we've parented the best that we've known in the last 18 years for Mira. So some of those things, we just trust that God has her, and she's smart. Mira is, she's very responsible, and I'm happy that she can be a part of a lot of these things. And, you know, the possibilities of mistakes or, you know, making a wrong decision or choice here and there, man, that's, you know, we do our best, but obviously, man, just trust God and support Mira and just enjoy this process with her, man. Mm-hmm. It's all good.
I remember my junior year when I went to prom. It was my first time going to a prom and I had to get my tuxedo. I remember, Uncle Jesse, you were there. Do you remember this?
I remember, man.
When I was picking out my tux.
Yeah.
And I remember that my date was wearing a blue, she was going to wear a blue dress.
Yeah.
So I wanted to match her, so I had a blue bow tie. Do you remember that?
I remember.
It was a black tux with a, like, royal blue bow tie. And I actually remember in our school newspaper, they had, like, best dressed awards, and I won for the junior class. I give a lot of credit to my Uncle Jesse.
And I like that, man.
And that was the only prom I went to. So I showed up once. I felt good in what I was wearing.
There you go.
Well, I guess I'll move on. You said something interesting, and maybe I misinterpreted it, but how you're saying you don't, at the beginning of the year, you haven't been singing full voice at worship service.
Nope.
What's that all about?
Well, check this out. Me and my family, I think it was Auntie Jessica, we were talking about our first weekend out, which was at a great church here in Tennessee called World Outreach. And, you know, days leading up to it, I was just telling Auntie, I'm like, man, I'm a little stressed out, man. I'm just not there yet. She goes, what do you mean? I said, well, in every way, mentally, I think emotionally I'm ready, where I was prepared, but my voice, I'm not sure. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, I don't really sing when we're off. I said, have you noticed that in our entire marriage, I rarely sing in the house. She was like, but that's your craft. I said, I know. I guess I just pour it all into our rehearsals at our office space. And when I come home, it's like, you know, just put that on hold and it's family time. So it is an adjustment. But yeah, I don't really sing hardly at all at
and
home.
That is that intentional or is just kind of?
To be honest, I don't know. I don't know. A lot of people ask us brothers, specifically John and I, if we do warm-ups for our voices. I highly recommend that you do, but for John and I, we never have.
Right.
We never have. And so, thankfully, we've never missed a show because of losing our voices. And here we are, almost 40
never
years.
Never missed.
Never missed.
Wow.
Because of our voices being out.
I've always been curious, especially for you and Uncle John, like, do you guys, well, I'll just ask you, I don't know about Uncle John, but have you ever been close to missing a show because your voice was gone or?
Because of being sick, but not because of my voice being gone.
And there's not, like, are there any measures you take? I guess not singing full voice when you're not on the road, but like to preserve your voice?
I would say in the last 8 to 10 years, we have an amazing sound engineer. Some of you guys may know him, Joey Casora. And, you know, technology has changed throughout the years. I remember when we were younger, all of our concerts, we used to use wedges, which are monitors. The speakers would face towards you. And, you know, that was a little tough because you got five other singers and you're trying to hear yourself. And so the more you want to hear yourself, you would have to project and, you know, you'd be probably singing a little harder than you would need to. And then we got introduced to ear monitors. So that was an adjustment. And so now having Joey Casora mixing our ears, man, it's an amazing feeling to be able to hear yourself and not have to strain so hard. And so that helps. Yeah. The older we get, I'm sure our vocal cords are not nearly as strong as they used to, but man, that helps.
Have you ever had like a formal vocal lesson?
I have. I've had several.
Okay.
And
I never knew that.
Oh yeah. Have I had any individually? No, but together, all of us brothers, we've had a few vocal instructors come and help us with vocal warm-ups, and so they help. Like I said, I highly recommend that you do it and that it becomes habit and just for the longevity of your voice.
I've always heard that, like, to think of your voice as a muscle. So if you want it to get stronger, you got to use it.
Yep.
But you also got to let it rest.
Yeah.
And one thing I do know about Uncle John, your counterpart, Uncle John sings all the time.
All the time.
Like,
man.
I remember times, years, like during COVID specifically, I would be at the office and Uncle John was there.
Yeah.
And I was just working on something else and he'd just be singing his heart out in his bedroom, like all day long.
Yeah. Here's something strange. And my kids would probably, oh God, Dad, don't tell people, but I rarely like to listen to music even in my house. I don't listen to music in the car. Probably the rare times where I listen to music is when I'm working out. And it's always just, most of the time it's just fast pop music just for, you know, to help me get through the workout. And but other than that, the only other time that I feel like I'm the most in tune is when we're rehearsing. And so
So when you this is a good pivot. When you're working out, you're listening to pop music
most of the time. Okay. Yeah,
I've recently, probably within the last 6 months, I've started listening to, I listen to music when I work out, and typically I listen to the same stuff that I listen to just throughout the day. So a lot of hip hop and pop music.
Yeah.
Sometime towards the end of last year, I started listening to like 80s rock. like
what
while I'm working out. I don't really listen to it in my regular life, but like a lot of AC/DC and even 90s like Rage Against the Machine. I don't know what it is. Well, it's just like it gets me excited.
Wow.
And I'm curious, who's your go-to like artist for your workouts?
Well, once I discovered Spotify, you know, you just kind of put it on an artist that you like, and then it plays music that's kind of in that vein. So I just normally put it on Bruno Mars, and then just whatever after that, I'm good.
And
with
that does the job for you.
That does the job. Okay. And then sometimes I don't know what the title is. It ended up on a Drake song, and this is very common, and this annoys my kids like crazy. I'll just feel a song. Dude, I could listen to that same song for hours.
Wow.
4 hours. Hey, guys, did you guys hear this song? And so I'll play it for my kids. They're like, okay, Dad, just one time. One time is good enough.
That's
so
funny. I've been, my brother Eli, I think it's all right that I'm sharing this. He'll probably be on the show within the next few months. But Eli is this May turning 26. And so he has a goal that he's going to run a marathon on his 26th birthday.
Ooh.
And so he's been running, like, Eli's not, I think he would tell you, he's not really a runner.
Yeah.
But he's been training for the last few months for this marathon that he's going to run.
Cool, man.
And there's a guy named David Goggins.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So Goggins is like this, I guess you'd call him motivational speaker kind of figure.
Mm-hmm.
Very, he's a Navy SEAL, just very gung-ho, masculine to the max. And his, I guess he has like some theory that listening to music while you work out is cheating. Like you don't need to.
Wow.
He's like, you don't need to distract yourself. You just need to focus on the pain or whatever.
Wow.
And so Eli said during when he first started running, he tried to run with no music.
Yeah.
And he said once he got to like 1 or 2 miles, he said, this David Goggins stuff is BS, bro. I'm putting music in.
Wow.
So I'm curious, like, there are some people I think that work out just no music, just the sound of the gym or whatever.
Well, I know one of them is your Uncle Sam.
Oh, really?
That dude, man, he can get on the treadmill and put 1.5 hours, 2 hours, no headphones, no book. I guess I've never asked him, what are you thinking about? But he will,
I should ask him that because I know what I've seen him. It's almost like he's in a state of meditation.
When maybe he's praying.
Treadmill. Yeah, he's just, there's nothing else. It's only him and the treadmill when he's running. But you know, you're always working out with music.
Most of the time. And most of the time it's music. And, you know, lately it's been podcasts about my favorite basketball team, the Lakers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Before we get into the Lakers, I'm sure people want to know, what are your fitness goals for this year, Uncle? Or do you have any?
Yeah, I've kind of been in a transition, which would be just accepting the fact that it's not a bad thing, but you're just trying to adjust to being 50.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to listen to my body, and it's okay if I can't do certain things that I used to. But I'm also doing some new things that I never did before. I'm always trying to, what is the goal? Just get more lean. And so, you know, do a little bit of research about that. And the nutrition part of it seems to be a little bit more of an importance. So just trying to enjoy what you eat, but also consider what it is. If it's not good, then find another option. And so, just generally just stay in shape. I'm back. Here's one, Josh. So last year there was just these random thoughts in my head about giving up basketball. And I never told anyone, but I was starting to get discouraged. I remember for a long time I used to show up at the rec center, and they would match people up according to, I don't know if it was their skill set, but everybody knew that I'd like to score. So sometimes I just hog the ball and just take as many shots, man, just so I can score. And man, that just started decreasing, you know. And so I'm like, man, am I done? I'm useless, man, because I can't get my shot off like I used to. So I just started thinking, man, maybe it's, I'm 50. Maybe it's time to give up basketball. And so a few times I would show up at the rec just to hang with the guys and trying to figure out, man, how am I just going to, you know, say goodbye to all my friends and say, hey, man, I think this season of my life is over. But the beginning of this year, I went back and I discovered that I still got some left in the tank. So I'm back playing 3 days a week, and it's fun, man.
Let me ask you, as a younger man than you, so you turned 50 last year.
Yeah.
I'm approaching, I'm not this year, but next year I'm turning 30.
Oh my God.
And I'm curious, like, physically, do you feel significantly different now today than you did when you were 40?
Wow. Sure. I'm just going to say sure, but my drive is probably has increased too.
Yeah. I guess I'm curious because, like, I've started to notice some things in my own body that I'm like, oh, I didn't used to hurt like that. But, like, I don't know. I'm not saying I feel older, but I'm trying to prepare myself for the inevitable of, like, I know in 10 years from now, I'm probably going to feel different than I do today. And 20 years from now, I'll feel different.
Yeah. Yeah, or Josh. But I think for me, this is just me personally, and I'm not trying to say everybody should have this, but man, I have a drive that I love the challenge of just, let's see if I can do it.
Yeah.
And even if my body says you can't, something in my mind says, nope, just keep doing it. And so, it works for me.
Yeah. me and Alexis, last year at some point, we watched this show on Netflix called The Blue Zones. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
It's a... There's these places on the planet called that. There's a very few of them. They call them blue zones, and basically, it's like a small area where, like the people who live there tend to live, on average, way longer than most people.
Okay.
So, like, I remember there was this one. There's this community in Japan where, like, the average lifespan of a person born there is over 100 years old.
Oh, wow!
And they asked, is this guy traveling around the world trying to figure out what's the secret to longevity? Like, how do these people live? And it's not like they're 100 years old and just laying in bed. Like, yeah. They're, like, active, very healthy people, well into their 90s and even triple digits. But one of the things that I remember this community in Japan talked about was their balance was really important.
Wow.
Like, they don't have... For whatever reason, they don't have furniture in their houses, like sitting furniture. So they're constant. If they want to sit down and eat, they sit down on the floor and then they have to stand back up.
Yeah.
So they have really good, like, core strength and balance. And I found in the show, I don't remember, I'm going to butcher the actual numbers, but there's something about, like, falling, like people who have falls in their lives, it significantly decreases your lifespan, like, especially for elderly people.
Sure.
Like, when you fall, it can set you back. Like, it can change your life forever.
Wow.
And these people in Japan, they don't ever fall because their core and their base, their trunk is so strong just from living lives, sitting down, standing up.
Yeah.
And I think that I'm tying this into, I feel like having a base level of strength just from pushing your muscles daily, and even when you get older, like you said, sometimes your body says no, but your mind says no. Let's keep going.
Yeah,
there's an element of that that does help you keep you young.
Man, Jaws, that's pretty cool. I think the older that I get, I mean, I'm very appreciative of my brothers who are they're interested and they're doing what they can to take care of themselves physically. Working out is not something that we have to do. We get to do, and we love it. You know, when we're out on the road, we know to be effective ministers and just people who present the gospel through messaging and through our singing, that it helps a lot just to be physically as healthy as you can.
Sure.
And so we love it. And, you know, we're hearing all kinds of methods. And if they resonate with you, you should try it and give it a try. Lately, I've been hearing a lot about cold plunge and, you know, cold showers and what that does for your joints. And I've tried it and it's worked, you know, for me. I mean, I'm not consistent at it. I'm also a member at this place that you're a member at called Hot Works. It's infrared thing, and that works. Mm-hmm. And so thankful that I get to do that. And so whatever works for you, man, just do it, man.
We were talking about this before we started recording, and I feel like it hasn't come up in a long time on the show, but the Lakers have had quite a crazy last like month with the trade deadline. And last night, as we're recording this, last night we watched the Lakers play the Mavericks for the first time since the Luka Doncic trade and Anthony Davis trade. It feels like it's a totally different team from literally a month ago.
Yeah.
And I feel like expectations are totally different from a month ago. How is it for you, Uncle, being a Laker fan right now? What are your expectations for this team?
The emotions are all over the place, man. For 6.5 years, you just fell in love with having LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and just literally out of the blue, man, that whole system is completely different with Luka Doncic coming in. And I've watched his games, but not nearly as closely as just the players on the Lakers. So to have him, I mean, I'm excited. You know, I don't know what the near future is going to look like, but I'm hopeful as a diehard Laker fan. And I love watching and listening to all of these podcasts. Like, they're so knowledgeable and experts on what's going to happen. The bottom line is we don't, man. Just as a fan, I'm just intrigued about the possibilities and enjoy watching the games. You and I are on a text thread with a lot of the uncles and the other nephews and cousins, and man, I love the back and forth and all the different ideas and suggestions that we have for the Lakers. But it's good entertainment for sure.
I'm a loyal member of like NBA Twitter. Like, my Twitter feed is mostly just NBA people stories and fans and stuff. And there's a common theme for years where Laker fans will find a player, like a superstar in the league, and they'll Photoshop a Laker jersey onto him and say "future Laker."
Yeah,
and people get so annoyed with it.
Yeah,
but then something like, I would have never imagined that Luka would be a Laker at 25 years old. Like, maybe 5 years from now, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Then it actually happens where the Laker Photoshop becomes reality.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny to me. It's like, that's why Laker fans are like that, because stuff like this happens. I want to ask you, where do you remember where you were when you found out about the trade? And did you believe it when you first saw it, or did you think it was fake?
Try to make it short. So Saturday night, I just couldn't wait because the Lakers were playing the New York Knicks. It was a big game, and Anthony Davis was out because he was hurt. And so they won. They won the game. And man, my poor wife, she gets annoyed. Sometimes I'll watch the game, and then literally once it's over, I will rewatch the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I'm just intrigued about how everything works, and just the puzzle and the X's and O's of what the coach is doing and what they're seeing, what schemes they're implementing, all of this. And so I guess the second time around, when I was watching it, I fell asleep. And literally, when I found out the next morning, it was about 10, 15 minutes after I fell asleep where it happened. Mm-hmm. I woke up to almost 100 texts, so many missed phone calls. I woke up to get ready for church, and I must have made some kind of sound where Auntie Jessica, my wife, said, "What happened? Like, who died?" I said, "Nobody died. We got Luka Doncic." I couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I just sat at the edge of the bed, just staring at my phone like, this can't be real. So how about you?
I Mine was similar to that. I remember watching the Knicks game. I was really excited. I really just happy because we played really well that night. And we won. We beat the Knicks, who were hot when we played them. We had no AD. I was like, man, this team looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And then I remember I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, and I was reading in bed. As I do every night, I read before I go to bed. I probably read for like 30, 45 minutes. I put my book down. I'm, you know, getting ready to go to sleep. And I check my phone one last time. And I was like, yeah, I had like probably 100 text messages. I was like, what's going on?
Oh, my goodness.
And then I saw in our thread, like, we got Luka. And when I first saw it, I was like, there's no way. These guys got tricked by some fake thing. And I ended up. It was probably midnight when I was doing. I ended up staying up till like 3 a.m. just trying to figure out all of the. I wish I would have just gone to sleep and not checked my phone and found out the next morning. But
same, man.
I was the most interesting part of it to me is the story of kind of how the two GMs, how the negotiations happened, and how it all stayed secret until the very last minute.
Yeah.
Like usually when a trade that big happens, you hear some whispers about it or a player, there's stories, rumors that a player's unhappy or whatever.
Yeah.
Usually you're not blindsided by a trade this big.
Oof.
This was nobody knew anything.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the stories is there was a third team involved in the trade, the Utah Jazz, and they didn't even know who else was involved in the trade. It was that secret. And to me, like, the most interest, I can't wait. I know 20 years from now there will be a 30 for 30 about this. I want to hear the story about like how Rob Pelinka and Nico Harrison, the two GMs for the teams, like managed these negotiations, and how I think that story is the most interesting thing, because it changed the landscape of the NBA like forever.
For sure, man. I mean, it was a little over 3 weeks ago, and it's still the top sports news. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, was it that Sunday or the Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl? And that news, just the Luka Anthony Davis trade, just overshadowed that. And so still trying to adjust to it as a Laker fan. You know, they played last night. They'll play in the next two nights. Mm-hmm. And it's fun just to see how hopefully it's all going to come together.
When me and Alexis first started dating, so we were back in college, this was probably back when Alexis was trying to impress me more. One of the things that we used to do is watch the Lakers together.
Yeah.
Because I love watching I've watched the Lakers whenever they play.
Yeah.
Alexis would just come over to my apartment and we'd hang out and watch the games. And so she became like, this was back when our nickname was the Baby Lakers. So we had like Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball,
Josh Hart.
Yeah, all Kuzma, those guys.
Yeah.
Kuzma was like Alexis's favorite player back then. And so she was like a legit Laker fan.
Yeah.
She knew more than most people did about just the Lakers roster and everything. Over the years, she's become less loyal to the Lakers, and she knows who the players are. Like, she knows she liked Anthony Davis.
Okay.
But she doesn't watch nightly like I do. And
so
when I told her the next morning that the Lakers traded Anthony Davis, she was like, "For who?" I said, "For Luka Doncic." She goes, Who is that? And so she was sad that we lost
Alexis.
AD. And I don't know. I'm trying to bring her back into the fold and try and get her to learn to see Luka. I think she'll love Luka.
Yeah.
Her initial reaction was, "I'm sad that they traded AD."
I was too.
We had him on our. Was it 6 years that he was on the team?
6 years, man.
Wow.
6 years. Yeah, just as you're thankful for your wife, I guess this would be a good, just to put it out there for those who are, you know, thinking about getting married, man, make sure you find a spouse who enjoys what you like and vice versa, that you enjoy what she likes. I'm still trying to do my part. You know, Auntie Jessica, she loves Hallmark movies, and so do I, but I probably don't watch 4 and 5 episodes at a time like she can, but man, she sure does put in the time to not just support me, but you know, enjoy the Laker games, especially when they're so late because we're here in Nashville, Tennessee, and when they play at home, it's like 9:30 when they start.
So that's funny. So Auntie Jessica's a fan of Hallmark movies.
She is, man.
And honestly, how often do you watch them with her?
Not as often as I should, but sometimes I'll sit down and watch them and predict what the ending is gonna be like, and I'm always spot on.
Yeah. Alexis, she has a similar thing that her and I do together. It's really a her thing. Is she has this podcast that she listens to that it's every day. It's called The Toast. Have you heard of them?
The Toast.
You probably haven't. Yeah. It's basically these two sisters. All they do is talk about like pop culture gossip. Like,
wow,
who's dating
man.
Who? They do it for an hour every wow. day. So anytime we're in the car, me and Alexis are in the car together, we listen to The Toast. So I know all about
you
the
know all
Hollywood,
about it,
Hollywood gossip yeah. and all of that stuff. And I won't lie and say it's completely boring to me because yeah. some of the stuff is, I'll be asking, like right now there's one of the big drama stories in Hollywood is this stuff with Blake Lively and some director that there's literally a lawsuit going on. And
oh
so
my goodness.
The other day we were listening to it and I was like, so why do people not like Blake Lively for this? And Alexis loves explaining it to me. But then it gets,
she's in the know, man.
But then it gets to the point, I'll ask her, well, what did this guy say about Blake Lively? She goes, just listen to the podcast. Just I don't have time to explain every detail to you. So that's one thing that wow. as a husband, I do enjoy parts of The Toast, sure. but I do just enjoy getting to listen to it with her, like oh, you and Auntie watching Hallmark
yeah,
movies.
Man.
Oh man. Well, Unc, I guess to finish off, and we can talk about this however long you want to. I asked Uncle John this last time and we've already kind of touched on it, but if there's anything else you want to share or if not, I'll just ask you what's going on at home.
What's going on at home? This is something new. Auntie Jessica and I, we decided that 22 years of marriage, all I've known is her working. Mm-hmm. Auntie Jessica is a hairstylist, and she's done that before we even met. She's been doing that for so long. And we were fortunate to, after we got married, whatever home we lived in, we just kind of, you know, made a makeshift salon in our house, and she kept that business going. And so it's been 22 years, and we decided for a short period of time that she would take a break and just kind of just, you know, take some time to rest and focus on some other things and just to be a mom. Again, this is Mira J's senior year, and whatever that entails, we're just trying to make it the best that we possibly can for her. And Sammy's 12. She's growing. This is her first year in junior high. And my son, Boston, he doesn't live with us, but he's over often. And so this is the new season that we're in. I'm grateful for it. And so that, and then... what else is going on at home? Obviously, our ministry is is a huge part of our family as well. So Jessica is an amazing supporter of that, and just trying to dive into what's gonna help in all aspects of our ministry. I'm focused on that as much as we were joking about me not singing. Anywhere else but on stage and in our rehearsals, just trying to do better in my craft when it comes to that and the other different roles that I play in our ministry. And so just trying to make sure that we're always moving forward.
Yeah. I'll finish with this, and this is kind of a shameless plug. I think that, you know, we talk about Gattina Ministries, our music, our outreach, and our community. And the event of the year for our community is our cousins reunion. Mm-hmm. And this year, if you don't know, our Katinas and Cousins reunion is happening right here in Franklin.
Yep.
End of June. You can go on our website and find out more info about that, thekatinas.com. But I know, just as the host of this podcast, I try to stay on top of our analytics and stuff. And it seems like what people are most interested in when it comes to the podcast is hearing about our family lives.
Yeah.
And what's going on at home with the Katinas. And not that we're special or super interesting, but I do think that our family is good at being a family.
Sure.
I'm not ashamed to say that. I think the good and the bad that comes with family life, we're well versed in all of those things.
Yeah.
And I would encourage people, if that's something that's important to you, if family is important to you, if mm-hmm. that's something you desire to have, community is important to you, I would really consider coming to our cousin's reunion this
yeah.
summer. It's more than just a concert. It's more than just music. It's mm-hmm. it's really what we've been praying for it to be for years, is that it's become family and it's
yep.
become a community, as I believe God intends it to be. So I'll finish Uncle Jess asking you your elevator pitch. Why, or maybe not even a pitch, but what's like your favorite part of the cousins reunion? What could people look forward to if they come this summer?
Yeah, I think for the cousin reunion, it's going to be pretty upfront. The messaging is what we've always sung and preached about for years, and it's family. And I got to say, it's not just the good, the fun parts of family, but even the challenges. I mean, for me personally, the beginning of the year was pretty difficult, just some personal things that I've gone through and continue to work through, even in my marriage. Those are the parts that we want to put some emphasis on, man, even in the challenges of family and marriages, that God is still good, mm-hmm. that God still has a plan. He still wants to prosper you in all that you do. But family means a lot, and we want to be an extension of that, of strengthening it and promoting just the what God created, the institution of marriage and family. It's so important.
Totally.
It's needed.
I totally agree, Uncle. And yeah, if you're listening, come as you are.
Please.
That's what we want, and we would love to see you here in Franklin. Again, you can visit our website, thekatinas.com. You'll see a button on there that says 2025 Reunion, with all the information you need to learn about what the reunion is, and we really hope to see you there.
Yeah.
Uncle Jesse, thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time. Anything else you want to say before we go?
Nah, thank you, Josh. You're doing an amazing job, man.
Appreciate it. To those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We will be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.